Today is February 10th, 2010. This is the Harry Thomas Show Week in Review. I'm your host, Harry Thomas. The website is located at harrythomas.info, and it's been a heck of a week, let me tell you. Not only have I been pretty sick, I haven't even left the house in 3 days. I've been so sick with a stomach virus and all. That's why this show is getting out late. But, you know, there's a lot of stuff going on in the world today to where they're moving right on in with world government, with a new world order. And if you don't know anything about that, and you're listening to the podcast for the first time over at Podomatic.com or somewhere else, then please pay attention to what's going on in the world, because we're losing our way of life. We're going to lose everything that we have, and that's called freedom. That's what this country, the foundation of this country, the United States anyway, that I'm talking about, you know, that we're here in the fight of our lives to try to save our republic and restore it, actually. I mean, we really have strayed far from the founding fathers' ideals for what this country could be, a beacon of hope and freedom for the rest of the world. And we're losing that to a vicious group of elite mega-methiacal maniacs in a quest for global domination. And we're talking about a depopulation of the planet. In accordance with the Georgia Guidestones, we're talking about billions of people they want to wipe off the planet, and that includes you, and that includes your family. And they're having you pay for your own destruction through the banking system, which has gone haywire. But there's a lot going on in this world today, and if you haven't been paying attention to anything but American Idol or the nightly news even, or even cable news programs, if that's where you're getting your information from, let me tell you, there's a lot more going on than you realized. And if you're listening to this program, which is an alternative news show, then you've probably already realized that, and you are seeking an alternative news source. And we are under attack. The internet's under attack. I'm going to cover some of that a little bit. But I don't think I covered this on the show. I did do a special report about the flight 253 out of Detroit and how that was an inside job, and it had all the hallmark traits of being an inside job, of where we've seen in the past where the government wants to accomplish something, or, you know, instead of using such a broad term as the government, let's talk about criminal elements with inside the government, okay? And they have an agenda, and that's a one-world agenda. It's an internationalist plan for internationalism. We're dealing with globalism here. We're dealing with internationalists, and their interest does not lie here in the United States. And this is not just happening here. We're talking about this is happening in Canada. This is happening in Great Britain, Australia, Germany, Russia, Japan, China, Middle East, everywhere. Okay? Everywhere this criminal element have slowly, incrementally gained control of major societies in this world. And they've pretty much bought everything up. And what we're doing here in this info war is exposing these elements of criminality that do exist in the power structure today. And one of these was that Detroit flight on Christmas Day. Mataleb was the guy. It says here, a sharp-dressed man who aided Mataleb onto Flight 253 was U.S. government agent. And this come out of Kurt Haskell at Infowars.com. So I exposed in a special report about this, that this had all the elements of an inside job, that this was an inside job, that they want to advance the police state here at home. And part of that agenda was bringing in these naked body scanners. So they're bringing in these naked body scanners, and they're having you fund that with taxpayers' money, by the way. And there's also an agenda to keep you scared, to make you think that there's a legitimate threat out there, when time and time again, as we see in this article here, you know, it's the U.S. government that is involved in these expiccades. Look at World Trade Center 93, for instance, where the FBI supplied the material. They told the guy to go ahead and blow the building up. He was like, wait a minute, this wasn't exactly, they're just saying, go ahead and do it. They have an agenda to get through. You understand what I'm saying? And part of that agenda was expanding wars. Now we're chasing Al-Qaeda, which is really Al-Qaeda, over into Yemen. So, and basically what this here is there was this sharp-dressed man who everybody seen and was filming this whole flight in Detroit, which was very, very suspicious to begin with. And like I said, you know, we see time and time again FBI involvement here, some kind of intelligence involvement. And again here, this happens to be the FBI. So when you start realizing that Al-Qaeda is a CIA creation, okay, they create these entities so that they can have a faceless enemy to chase around the world. You understand? And they're bankrupting us with this. And we see it time and time again where the Helgarian principle is in effect. They have an agenda. They can't tell the people that they have that agenda. They have to scare the people into begging for their solutions. So they pull off these false flag events. You know, and we have been waiting for something to happen for a long time. And it does seem that the Christmas Day bomb plot is one of it. Now, Press TV, January 28, 2010, came out, Mossad orchestrated Christmas Day bomb plot. The Nigerian terrorist suspect accused of attempting to blow up a U.S. airliner on Christmas Day had been arranged by the Israeli-owned International Consultants on Targeted Security to perform a walk-around without a passport in Amsterdam. Now, so this is what happened. This guy didn't even have a passport, but here we get, again, intelligence comes in and lets them aboard the plane. Because it's all a plot. You know what I'm saying? If that was me and you, forget it, buddy. We'd be tied up for hours and hours at the airport. You know what I mean? But no. We're talking about this is an inside job. This is intelligence, okay? And this is what they do time and time again throughout history. And the further along they go, the further we get thrust into world government. You know, they've got the structure all in place. We've been actually operating under a world government for a long time, and they are just tightening the reins, boy. You know what I mean? They're getting into full implementation now. And the good news is they're not really getting away with a lot of their agenda. The public does not seem to be as mesmerized and hypnotized as they think by their mind control. And they do have a mind control agenda in place. It is programs, all kinds of stuff going on. So we need to be aware of that. We need to be aware that, you know, yes, the public isn't buying everything. Okay? And as long as we keep screaming about this stuff, you know, their plots and their plans are going to be pushed back further and further, which will allow us to have time to wake our fellow man up of these evil plots. So now we've got, you know, this stuff, and they're beefing it up in Yemen, as well as the African continent. You know, they're bringing a new focus to this war on terror. You understand what I'm saying? And when you start watching the globalists in action and you see their false flag events over and over again, and then you see them pushing the agenda afterwards, you know what I'm saying? It's like you see these major stories like Bear infecting thousands with HIV, and it really doesn't get the time of day on the media, when that is something that you would think would dominate the media. And then again, last year, right around this time, almost a year ago, you had Baxter International sending out live avian bird flu in their vaccines to 18 countries, a deadly combination, goes against all kinds of protocol for clinical procedures or laboratory procedures that deal with them kind of bioweapons. You understand what I'm saying? Is that this cannot be an accident, okay? And you didn't hear a peep about it. The only thing you hear on the controlled mainstream media that the globalists own is that they got the contract to come up with the swine flu vaccine. You know, you've got the fox guarding the hen house situation here, okay? And that's how it always goes. And, you know, when you think a story should be big, it's not. And then all of a sudden, this stuff happens, and that's all they focus on. You know what I mean? They're pushing the agenda. And the agenda is clear of what they're doing. They're setting up world government. They're setting up Big Brother. They're setting up the police state. And they're pushing you, the common people, to see how far you're going to allow them to go. You know what I'm saying? This is all a psyop, really, to test us all. That's what the swine flu thing was. That's what this Yemen thing is, or this bomb plot, underwear bomber, whatever you want to call it. You know what I'm saying? That's all these things, 9-11, 7-7 over in London, the bombings, so-called bombings over there, which was an inside job. You got the same things going on every time. You understand what I'm saying? They allowed Pearl Harbor to be bombed so that, as an excuse to get into the war, so that they can scare you into accepting the United Nations, which happened, which is the framework for world government. It is the structure that's in place right now. So we see this plot unfold. We see them setting the agenda. We see the media is compliant with it. You know, all the hallmarks, all the trades, the same thing that they did in Oklahoma City, which was a total inside job. And if you think that I'm a nutcase for saying this, maybe it's because you haven't delved into the issues yet. Maybe you haven't done the research that is needed to come to the conclusions of really what is going on as the facts, is that what we see time and time again is a series of false flag events, inside jobs performed by intelligence all over the world to further the New World Order agenda. And the only way that we can understand and be able to articulate that to our fellow man is to study the globalists, take a look at what their plan is, and watch the agenda unfold. Now, over at 12160.org, which is a great social network for patriots that are fighting the New World Order, there was a post over there by Jeff on February 5th, 2010, Yemen again. We can't expect a great deal of controversy with Yemen. We're currently told that Al-Qaeda operates in Yemen, but is this true? Are there any Al-Qaeda members operating there, or is this just a lie to obfuscate the truth? Well, what would you expect from the American government and the American media? A truth or a lie? Now, if you guessed a lie, you would be right. Allow a Yemenian scholar provides you with an overview of the history and current conditions in Yemen by reading here, and he posted an excellent article that was over at globalresearch.ca, which is an excellent website to find information about the globalist agenda. And you can find links to all that, all this stuff that I talk about on the show, right at harrythomas.info. I've got all kinds of links over there. You can find everything that I talk about right there. HarryThomas.info. You can find out information about the New World Order. You can find out information about everything that I talk about in the news section of the archives. I mean, you cannot make this stuff up. And this article at globalresearch.ca says, fake war on terrorism. In Yemen, the U.S. is fighting against democracy, not against Al-Qaeda. And this was an interview with Mohammed Hassan. And it's an excellent interview. It covers a lot of topics. Why has Yemen become so important for Washington? Who are the northern resisting fighters, and what are their demands? It kind of breaks down the rhetoric, you know, that is going on in the media when it comes to Yemen and other issues over there. The fighting is close to Sada'a is raging. It has caused several thousand people to become refugees, and the government is accusing Iran of supporting the rebels. The accusation is false, of course, because we've seen over recent years a very aggressive campaign against Iran, demonizing Iran, when we have our own watchdogs and stuff saying that they're not even close to having any kind of nuclear weapons. But again, over and over again, we see on the controlled media the same rhetoric, that they're being accused of enriching uranium and all this other stuff. And we need to have, you know, like an intervention to stop a group of people, a country, from doing something that we think they might do in the future. You know, it's a thought crime, really, on a global scale. Meanwhile, you got countries like North Korea and stuff just running wild with nuclear weapons. You've got Israel that hasn't signed any kind of proliferation agreement when it comes to nuclear weapons and denies it, and denies a lot of what they, you know, what we know that they have. You know, so why the double standard here? And the bottom line is, it's either you're with the globalists or you're not with the globalists. You understand? Either you're going to give up your sovereignty of your nation to a global entity, or you're going to be attacked. You're going to be demonized. You know, and this is what we've seen over and over again. And the South's demanding to succeed. The Yemen president really seems to be in a bad position. You know, what about the South? If this gets into the history of everything that's going on here, down over there, I mean, if you really want to get to the cut to the chase of what is actually going on there, you got to get over and read this article. You know, I post all the information up there for you to read and do your own investigations. You know what I'm saying? Do not believe what anybody has to say. Investigate all these claims for yourself. I mean, that's the best way to go forward. Now, over at CampaignForLiberty.com, Ron Paul wrote February 5th, 2010, Yemen on the Brink, Implications for U.S. Policy. And this is a statement of Congressman Ron Paul at the United States House of Representatives on the House Foreign Affairs Committee hearing, Yemen on the Brink, Implications for U.S. Policy. And he's talked about his concern over the current U.S. policy toward Yemen, which he believes will backfire and leave the U.S. less safe and much poorer. Increasing U.S. involvement in Yemen may be sold as a fight against terrorism, but in fact, it is more about expanding U.S. government control and influence over this strategically placed nation at a gateway to Asia. So here we are again. You know, we had 9/11, and we're into Afghanistan. Halliburton, they get their pipeline through the Caspian Sea. They get to delve into that oil that they had wanted in the private sector for a long time. And then when Cheney gets into office, next thing you know, we're over there building that pipeline. We're building our permanent military bases in the Middle East, just like the Project for a New American Century said, you know. And they're rebuilding America's defensive document. And you can find that in the document section, too. At HarryThomas.info. I mean, check out this information I'm talking about for yourself. I mean, it's really serious stuff. We're under a serious threat here. Our country is becoming less sovereign, less free, and it's becoming less of a reflection of what our Constitution, our Bill of Rights say. You understand what I'm saying? It's under extreme attack. And Congressman Ron Paul really hits the thing, you know, when he talks about, we can't even afford all this, okay? We can't afford this empire building, okay? And they lie to us over and over again. We get these con artists coming up on these political stages talking this rhetoric and then arguing with each other, but at the same time, they're running off to the same bank. They're run by the same bankers. You understand? The same agenda is in place. And we keep getting thrust decade after decade farther and farther into world government, into world domination, run by these same bankers, these same banking elite families, these corporate oligarchs, okay, that think that they're better than the rest of us, and that, you know, we don't even deserve to live, you know, and they're just going to bilk us and bilk us and bilk us and rob us of everything that we have. And Congressman said naked body scanners are just about harassing passengers. Dangerous and invasive radiation x-ray devices labeled stupid and pointless by experts. More prominent figures have slammed the / introduction of invasive naked body scanners at airports, with congressmen and security experts labeling them as stupid and pointless measure that does nothing but harass innocent travelers. You know, and we've seen this stuff before with the tasers, where they wanted to implement them. They made backdoor deals with Taser International with these contracts for governments to buy them. You know, and Homeland Security went around funding a lot of these. I know here in Syracuse, New York, they got federal Homeland Security money and implemented tasers right here. And they're doing the same thing here. Naked body scanning now compulsory at Britain's largest airports. So we usually see this happening, you know, and what happens over in Britain happens over here. What happens over here happens over in Britain. It's a two-way street, you know, and we've already seen this, you know, where they were ready, you know, to implement these things, you know, and they're going to. And like I said, Paul Joseph Watson over at PrisonPlanet.com reported on February 2nd, 2010, Obama pledges another $250 million for virtual strip search scanners. The Obama administration has announced that a further $215 million will be spent on installing virtual strip search naked body scanners, meaning the devices will be in no less than half the nation's airports by next year. And, you know, they're just going to keep going on. I mean, is this, you know, do you think this is going to save you from an event that the FBI allowed this guy onto the plane, that were accompanying him, that Mossad allowed him on over in overseas, let him on the plane? Do you think that these naked body scanners are going to save you from that? No. You're just going to be put at risk. Because this was also reported. Radiation Safety Group says naked body scanners increase risk of cancer. Children and pregnant women should not be subject to a scan, says influential body, urging governments to ditch the backscatter X-ray devices. And this came out of the Interagency Committee on Radiation Safety, and they concluded in their report that governments must justify the use of the scanners and that a more accurate assessment of the health risks are needed. You know, because really, think about it. Do we need these? You know, courts have consistently found that strip searches are only legal when performed on a person who has already been found guilty of a crime or on arrestees pending trial where a reasonable suspicion has to exist that they're carrying a weapon. Subjecting masses of people to blanket strip searches in airports reverses the very notion of innocent until proven guilty. But isn't that exactly where we're heading now in the world? Aren't you guilty until you prove innocent? I mean, isn't that what everything's all about these days? Is, well, we're going to protect the public from something that we think you might do. You know, that's what they're doing with Iran. That's what they're doing with a lot of other places. That's what they're doing with you. It's a mindset. And then you start watching mainstream media and you watch all these law shows and stuff and these judge monkey courts. You know, these divorce courts and the people court and all this other crap, all right? And they make a mockery of the justice system. It's a total monkey court, okay? That's not law. That is not law. And then you see the sitcoms and the other dramas out, and they're totally perverting the legal system. And then you see them taking the little pop shots at the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, how they're in a way, in their way of protecting society from a vicious element. No, the vicious element is attacking our Constitution, okay? In very subtle ways. And not so subtle ways. But, you know, this all here advances the Big Brother state. It's all part of acclimation. It's part of conditioning us to submit to Big Brother. To you know, just get used to the cameras being there everywhere. Get used to us being spied on and everything that we do and buy being categorized and held in a database. I mean, and that's exactly what's going on. We had a whistleblower of AT&T say that everything on the internet is being funneled in raw data right into a national security office, national security agency office. What is the NSA doing with all this information? God only knows, but I know it's not for the advancement of humanity. Now, James over at 12160.org, he posted this on February 4th, 2010. The government has your baby's DNA. When Annie Brown's daughter, Isabel, was a month old, her pediatrician asked Brown and her husband to sit down because he had some bad news to tell him. Isabel carried a gene that put her at risk for cystic fibrosis. While grateful to have the information, Isabel received further testing, and she doesn't have the disease. The couple wondered how the doctor knew about Isabel's genes in the first place. After all, they never consented to genetic testing. Well, it's simple, the pediatrician answered. Newborn babies in the United States are routinely screened for a panel of genetic diseases. Since the testing is mandated by the government and is often done without parents' consent, according to Brad Thurl, director of the National Newborn Screening and Genetics Resource Center. In many states, such as Florida, where Isabel was born, baby's DNA is stored indefinitely, according to the resource center. Many parents don't even realize that their baby's DNA is being stored in a government lab. But sometimes when they find out, as the Browns did, they take action. Parents in Texas and Minnesota have filed lawsuits, and these parents' concerns are sparking a new debate about whether it's appropriate for a baby's genetic blueprint to be in the government's possession. I say absolutely not. Absolutely not. Okay? I mean, they're taking fingerprints and everything now, you know, and they're getting the parents to submit to this. Say, oh, you know, get your kid's fingerprints. It used to be you had to, your privacy, you were secure in your being, just like our founding fathers framed the construct of our nation, that we should be free in our personal, you know, we should have privacy. You know what I'm saying? And this is going against everything. It used to be you would commit a crime before you would have to submit to any kind of fingerprinting or any kind of invasive measures against your privacy. You understand what I'm saying? But now everybody's guilty until proven innocent, whatever. They're running amok, okay? It's CSI, Miami, New York, and all that rest gone crazy. You understand what I'm saying? You know? You know, and that's on CBS, where you got the All-CNI, the Illuminati channel. It's owned by the globalists. It's owned by the elite, you know. I mean, and you know this, they're running CISI all the time, totally desecrating our Constitution and using a mind control system to sway the people in their beliefs and making them seem like it's harmless entertainment when it's a total vicious attack on our way of life. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, why do you think the WHO had the halftime event? You know, what they're the CSI music. You understand what I'm saying? You know, and I'm not saying that having them there is some kind of conspiracy or anything, but it's all ingrained into the same fabric, if you understand what I'm saying. You got Law and Order, you got all these other shows that are just totally taking pop shots at our way of life. And this is another big article, tells a lot. Talks about the military and how they take and store DNA samples. You know, it's just incredible. And the amount of money that's being spent, that is just, it's outrageous. You know, we've had Obama during the campaign saying, oh, he's not going to raise taxes, you know, just on the rich. You know, we're going to make the rich pay. You know, and that's the rhetoric that you hear. And that's what you think's going on, but there's a whole totally different thing going on. Bloomberg reported Monday, February 1st, 2010, Obama's budget has a $1.9 trillion tax rise. The Obama administration proposed to increase taxes on Americans earning more than $200,000 by close to $970 billion over the next decade and take in an additional $400 billion from businesses, even as it retooled a proposed crackdown on international tax avoidance techniques. The new budget released today would reinstate 10-year-old income tax rates of 36% and 39.6% for single Americans earning more than $200,000 and joint filers that make more than $250,000 as a part of a broad $1.9 trillion tax increases proposal. Okay? Oh my God. Who's going to pay for all this stuff? You know? And Ron Paul reported, spending freeze not likely. Last week, politicians in Washington made a few things clear about how they really feel about the state of the union. First, they are beginning to hear the growing discontent with the size and scope of government and the broken promises that keep piling up. Certain events in Massachusetts recently made the statement loud, clear, and unavoidable. In the face of these events, the powers that be made the determination that some populist rhetoric was in order and that the idea of spending freeze in Washington was proposed, albeit with several caveats. These caveats to the proposed spending freeze ensure that there's not any real risk of actually doing anything about spending. And that's true. I mean, they're not going to stop spending your money. I mean, you're not protesting enough. Well, you are, but they're not listening. You know, I don't know how loud we have to get for them to listen, but, you know, it obviously has to be a lot louder than what things have been. Now, this was reported. Geithner told to quit after emails reveal involvement in AIG cover-up. Treasury Secretary Timothy Geithner's denial that he played any role in AIG cover-up is contradicted by emails which confirm that both Geithner and the New York Federal Reserve were both intimately involved in keeping details about payments to banks, including Goldman Sachs, from the public. Oh, my God. And he's lying. He says he had no involvement in about the bailout in AIG. But you know what? This guy was the head of the New York Fed. And now he is, you know, a total lobbyist. Now, remember what I was talking about, Obama the liar, saying, oh, well, he's not going to have lobbyists in his administration, when that's all he does is two, three tears deep of lobbyists in his administration. Now, this was reported about AIG.
I want to take you back to our top story this hour, the financial controversy that just continues. AIG, the New York Fed, the Securities and Exchange Commission, all coming under fire over, like I said, allegations of secrecy. Well, RT's correspondent Marina Portnoy, she joins us live right now from New York City with all the details. So, Marina, break this down for us. What type of special security procedures were promised to AIG regarding the company's rescue package?
Well, Dina, what this indicates essentially is that the Security and Exchange Commission, with the help of the New York Fed, were determined to keep AIG's financial bailout documents under lock and key. Now, the special agreements that were in the works that were being promised was that AIG's financial bailout documents would only be reviewed by two SEC employees, and all other times the document would be locked up in a safe. Now, this would be pending an application of a confidentiality kind of status in which AIG never wanted its financial bailout agreement disclosed to the public. And during that time, like we mentioned, the SEC agreed to keep the documents a secret. Now, also, the SEC reportedly agreed that if AIG's documents were eventually determined to not be made public, this is most important, the document would be held in a special area where national security-related files are being held. Now, these emails come to light from Reuters, and the emails that I am referring to were written according to what's being reported by a lawyer from the New York Federal Reserve Bank. As many remember, it was the New York Fed that helped orchestrate AIG's bailout at the end of 2008, more than $100 billion given to AIG, funded, you know, through the federal government, funded by taxpayers. And now, with all these new things coming to light and taxpayers still wondering where their money is going, many new players involved, it actually raises many, many more questions.
You know, Marina, you're right. It does raise a lot of questions. And this news comes just 2 days before scheduled hearings on Capitol Hill relating to AIG's controversial $180 billion bailout. Treasury Secretary Tim Geithner is going to testify on Wednesday since he served as New York's Fed president during that bailout. What can we expect him to say? This is going to be a tense grilling session from what I hear.
Absolutely, Dina. I mean, before this news came to light, it was just a few weeks ago that other revelations were made that Timothy Geithner knew that AIG was planning to keep their bailout financial disclosures a secret. And actually, some emails indicated that he was aware that the Fed was encouraging them to keep information on lockdown. Now, of course, his spokesperson is denying this, saying that Mr. Geithner had no idea the New York Fed was telling AIG to be quiet about the bailout, that at the point that this was taking place, he was already tapped to be the U.S. Treasury Secretary. But we also have to remember he was appointed to his position and at that point owed more than $40,000 in back taxes, which he was supposed to pay while working for the IMF. So, you know, it definitely doesn't paint him in a pretty light, this new information.
Marina, yeah, and we have to wonder whether or not Barack Obama is now regretting that decision. RT's Marina Portnoy live from New York City breaking that down for us.
Send Geithner to prison for lying to the American people. Kurt Nimmo wrote this at PrisonPlanet.com. There's a video link to what you just heard. You know what I'm saying? And these guys are just getting away with it. It remains to be seen if Timothy Geithner will be exposed and ultimately arrested, forced to do the perp walk in an orange jumpsuit, and slapped in prison for grand larceny of such a magnitude that it staggers the imagination. And we just recently seen Bernanke get thrown back in. And, you know, we've got Jim Cramer, the money man from Mad Money. And he says, he pleads, trust Bernanke. The Bavarian Illuminati Trilateral Commission and the Queen are not all bad. Now, if you've been following the globalists, you'll know that the Trilateral Commission was set up to advance globalist agendas, that the Bavarian Illuminati have talked about a one world government and new world order, and they are still in existence, even though there are some that claim that they don't exist anymore. They exist in a different form. You know, the thing, the global web is so intricate that, you know, you can't just put a label on it. You understand? It's not just one group of people. And the Queen, the royal families, they are part of this elite structure. You know, they are a big problem. But listen to what Jim Cramer says.
I'm impressed by what Geithner
did. But get a bodyguard.
I already have one. And I feel strongly that Geithner, this is AIG, AIG, Goldman, Goldman. And you know what? The Bavarian Illuminati, the Trilateral Commission, Goldman Sachs, and the Queen of England are not all bad.
Wow.
You know, he says it right on TV. Oh, the Bavarian Illuminati, you know, they're not that bad. They're not that bad. No, microchip society isn't that bad. No, world domination is not that bad. You know, a one world currency isn't that bad. Oh, no. No. Population reduction ain't that bad. Oh, boy. Oh, my God. You know, a one world dictatorship is what we're looking at. U.S. Treasury official openly serves on council of Rothschild-funded Earth Bank. And here we go. Here's one of these elite families, these bloodlines that have been running things, that are basically the criminal elements that I'm talking about that are pulling the strings behind the scenes and funding everything. And this is the family of the Rothschilds. And they founded this Earth Bank. You know, they're using the green movement. They're behind everything. Left, right. That's what I'm saying. There's a false left-right agenda in place here. And this is exactly what's going on. And they're serving this agenda. And over here, one of the most prominent families in America that are behind this agenda is David Rockefeller. And he says, well, if this is what I'm accused of, then, you know, I'm guilty as charged. He's totally proud to be a globalist. He's totally proud to get rid of American sovereignty to advance globalism and a one-world government. And him and Bill Gates and all them, they have these foundations and they fund all these eugenics programs, you know, they're up for sterilization and depopulation, forced abortion, euthanasia, you know, all these things that are just a total attack on humanity. I mean, anybody that has any kind of moral fiber that actually researches this information and finds out for themselves what the truth is, they're going to want to fight back. You know, you are going to want to fight back once you investigate these claims. Senior U.S. Treasury Department official William Pizer, the current Deputy Assistant Secretary for Environment and Energy, is simultaneously a sitting council member on the Global Environment Facility, one of the largest funders of projects to improve the global environment. Example, push through fraud-based carbon cap and trade programs. And this is really what they want to do. They want to establish the global tax. That's what Denmark was all about, Copenhagen. And the UN chief says that they're going to advance that in mid-2010 and probably have a formal agreement signed. And if that gets signed, understand exactly what's going to happen. We're going to have a global tax implemented through the IMF, World Bank. They're going to be able to create fiat and derivatives, carbon derivatives. And if you know anything about the financial situation, you'll know that the derivatives are exactly what the problem are. The problem is, you know, where, oh, well, if you've got a dollar with this fiat derivatives plan and stuff, you can just invent money. well, I've got a dollar, so because I have a dollar, I can lend out $1,000, or I can lend out $2,000 or $10,000. Actually, the sky's the limit, is how these guys operate. And you've got the Federal Reserve doing it here in this country, using the fiat system and just printing money. That's why inflation is rising. That's why people are going bankrupt. They create these housing bubbles, everything else. You know, so these bankers here, the Financial Times reported on January 30 of 2010, Patrick Jennings and Tom Braithwaite, bankers in favor of paying global fee. Of course they are. Some of the world's most prominent bankers have come out in favor of a global bank wind-down fund, a concession from the industry after weeks of fighting proposals for new taxes in U.S. and Europe. Now, this is exactly how they're doing it. Let me explain to you. They say that they're going to crack down on these bankers. You understand what I'm saying? Just like they did in 1913 when they set up this Federal Reserve system, okay? And the Federal Reserve is printing out these fiat, and it's not even a government entity. It's a private bank, okay, where most of the interests lie in the Bank in London, these international bankers. That's who's in control of our money system. Now, what they did is they said, well, we're against this Federal Reserve Act, and they spent their money and they put up big ads in the papers and stuff saying that they were against it because the people knew that the bankers have always been dirty. They've always had this plan for global domination. We've seen the same families throughout history over and over again. And we're talking about these are inbred families. They think that they're so much better than us that they can only breed inside their own families. You know, we're talking about they think they have that they're the perfect race, that their genes are superior. You know, this is how, when I say they're mega methodical maniacs, I absolutely say that wholeheartedly. Wholeheartedly. It's not an exaggeration by any means. And this is how they set it up. So, and they're doing the same thing now. Well, the bankers were, well, we're against this crackdown. Don't crack down on us when really the legislation is advancing their agenda. Just like the Federal Reserve did, which gave them control of the money supply when they said they were against that. Now, why would they be against getting control of the money supply? And this is exactly what's going to happen here with the IMF and everything else. This guy said, I think every G20 country would like to have an insurance scheme that would help cover the cost of any future bank failures. Okay, and we're talking about bank failures again, where these guys are just too big to fail, when they should have let them fail. If they took that banker bailout money and bailed out the American people, our society would be raging right now. Our economy, anyhow, would be raging right now. And the society would be advancing too. No, no. The bankers squandered it away. Won't even tell you where it's at. The Federal Reserve has no transparency. That's why H.R. 1207 was so important of Ron Paul getting so much support for that, to get it in the forefront, to get people to take a look at the bankers and take a look at why they don't want to be audited. You know, because that bill would audit the Federal Reserve, and it's caught up in committee right now. And we've seen where bills can be caught up in committee for years, and they eventually just fade away. You know, it's that old Schoolhouse Rock. I'm just a bill. I'm only a bill. And I'm sitting here on Capitol Hill. And that's exactly what's happening with that bill right now, is it's caught in committee. So, you know, we have to keep on the forefront here. We got to be vigilant against these bankers. I mean, really, Bloomberg reported, maybe a secret banking cabal does run the world after all. The idea of a secret banking cabal that controls the country and global economy are given among conspiracy theorists who stockpile ammo, bottled water, and peanut butter. After this week's congressional hearing into the bailout of AIG Group, you have to wonder if these folks are crazy after all, right? Bloomberg's David Riley today. And we've seen before where people are on TV, they're like, oh my God, remember all them people that were talking about the UN takeover and a one-world government? They're right. They're absolutely right. And the farther the New World Order pushes their agenda, the more transparent they become. The Obama administration orders World Bank to keep Third World in poverty. This was reported over at PrisonPlanet.com. Under the provable, fraudulent, and completely corrupted justification of fighting global warming, the Obama administration has ordered the World Bank to keep developing countries underdeveloped by blocking them from building fuel-fired power plants, ensuring that poorer countries remain in poverty as a result of energy demands not being met. And this is really all part of this whole plan here. Even amidst the explosive revelations of the United Nations IPCC issuing reports on a Himalayan glaciers and Amazon rainforest littered with incorrect data, the U.S. government has stepped up the pressure on the World Bank to not fund coal-fired power plants in developing countries. And that's the whole thing about this carbon scheme. See, they don't want the developing countries, you know, they're going to want to buy up their carbon credits because they don't have the technology anyway to use them. So then that's going to enable richer industrialized nations to pollute more, to be able to go beyond because they can buy these credits. And while they're buying these credits, these countries aren't going to be able to develop because they keep using their credits just to sustain the debt on what the bankers are loaning them money. See, this is how this Ponzi scheme works. A prime example appeared in a documentary of the Great Global Warming Swindle, which highlighted how a Kenyan health clinic could not operate a medical refrigerator as well as the lights at the same time because the facility was restricted to just two solar panels. And that movie, The Great Global Warming Swindle, is available to watch at harrythomas.info for free. I want this information out to everybody. I want people to be informed about what's going on in the world around them. Oh, you know, and I talked just briefly a little while ago about the swine flu pandemic and it being a hoax. The investigation chief, the Council of Europe chair, says pharmaceutical companies conspired with the World Health Organization to make vast profits from fake hysteria. And we've seen how the amount of deaths from the swine flu were not even even in the ballpark with the figures of people who died from regular flu every year. And then next thing you know, we're going to level 5 and these level 6 and then technically martial law. You know, and they're just seeing how far they can push the people. Like I said before, just seeing how many people took the vaccine? How many, you know, where do they have to go to manipulate more of the population into submitting to their agenda? And that's exactly what happens. And that's exactly what we've seen over and over again. Another good article. WHO scientists' swine flu pandemic was completely exaggerated. And these guys, they always end up coming out public later on. A scientist with the World Health Organization has testified during ongoing hearings in Strasbourg, France, that swine flu pandemic was part of an overblown angst campaign devised in conjunction with major drug companies to boost profits for vaccine manufacturers. And all along, you know, people like myself and stuff were telling the public that this was a scam, you know, that this was a fabrication. And then climate gate spreads like an ozone hole. Russia Today reported this. Scientists at the heart of the climate gate controversy face new allegations which further cast a doubt about global warming. Analysis shows researchers had tried to suppress key details in their findings for 20 years. New allegations swirl in ClimateGate, which began last November with an email leak at the University of East Anglia, suggesting that one of the world's most foremost centers for climate research had been manipulating data to prove the existence of man-made global warming. Now it turns out, data manipulation has been going on since at least 1990. The head of the university's climate research unit, Professor Phil Jones, has come under fresh suspicion due to a paper he released 20 years ago claiming urban warming wasn't a factor in higher temperature readings he'd recorded. But he doesn't seem to be able to show where his information came from. And, you know, and this is exactly what's going on. They fudged all this data and said, well, you know, global warming is caused by man-made CO2. Which is a total fabrication. Climate chief was told of false glacier claims before Copenhagen. So they know all this stuff. They know that all these frauds are going on, but they just go ahead with the agenda anyway. He was told that the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change assessment that the glaciers would disappear by 2035 was wrong, but he waited 2 months to correct it. He failed to act despite learning that the claim had been refuted by several leading glaciologists. The IPCC's report under pinned the proposals at Copenhagen for drastic cuts in global emissions. And what, you know, and what we're saying is all this data is fudged to begin with. And they know about it, and they just keep covering it up. They don't want to leak that information because it goes against their scam. And here, and it was talking about in this article, cap and trade scam to be enforced at state level. Globalists intent on ushering in zero growth post-industrial society are bypassing the federal government's shuttering efforts to implement cap and trade scam and going directly to the states to impose their control freak tax on a very life-giving gas that we all exhale, carbon dioxide. So as we see their global agenda start to crumble away, they're moving in right at the state level. If we can just get this stuff passed at the local levels, you know, we can bypass a lot of the problems that we're having. I mean, we have to capitalize, this is what they're thinking, that we have to capitalize on the fear that we've already instilled into the public. You know, and that's what, through that globalist Al Gore and his Inconvenient Lie movie. Criminologist found guilty of hiding data will escape criminal conviction on technicalities. This was reported by the Corbell Report, January 29, 2010. It's not just the IPCC's month. Now, on top of Parachute Gate and Glacier Gate, the original Climategate scandal has finally exploded underneath the criminologist at the University of East Anglia's Climatic Research Unit. Okay, now key scientists behind the IPCC peer-reviewed assessment of the dangers of man-made climate change, the ones that fudged the data, they ruled that the group of scientists known as the hockey team had broken freedom of information laws by conspiring to ignore legitimate requests for information and even conspiring to delete key emails and correspondence so they could never be assessed. Now, on some kind of technicality about deleting some kind of data and an email and stuff, these guys are going to get away with it again. You know, and that's exactly what goes on. That's exactly what goes on. The scare is over. Climate change skeptic Lord Monckton debates Rupert Posner from the Climate Group. Lord Monckton, 3rd Viscount Monckton of Brenchley, former advisor to Margaret Thatcher, architect, mathematician, and climate change skeptic, is on speaking tour of Australia to spread his message that climate change activists are bedwetters and liars. And this guy has been out ruthlessly exposing this. You know, I want to commend Lord Monckton for his bravery in speaking out, because, you know, speaking out against climate change and against these globalists and stuff, it really isn't a popular thing to do. You know what I mean? And this guy, he has the cojones, boy, to go up against this. This is part of what he had to say.
One of the most hotly contested debates in the whole world at the moment is the debate about climate change and climate science. You may have over the weekend seen in the newspapers that yet another plank in the United Nations panel, the expert panel on climate change, has fallen over as more doubt is cast on some of the basic research on climate change. But touring Australia at the moment on a sponsored tour is Lord Monckton.
That there is now growing doubt about whether one can trust the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change. Its chairman is being investigated for criminal offences in the United Kingdom at
Which
the moment.
Which offences?
Offences of filing false accounts in 3 successive years in a charity of which he's a trustee.
Which charity?
Charity is called Terry Europe Limited.
How much is the amounts of money involved?
Amounts of money involved are that in each of the 3 years concerned, he and his fellow trustees declared income of less than £10,000. However,
for the charity or for themselves?
For the charity.
Yeah.
However, in the year 2007 alone, there is on a government website a government grant to that charity amounting to more than £30,000 just for 1 year, and further investigation has revealed that in fact they had income in the hundreds of thousands, possibly in the millions, and that is now being investigated. The charity has accepted that it had indeed filed incorrect accounts.
Okay, so he's on a whole lot of boards, and on one of them something's gone perhaps irregular on the accounts. What's
It is criminal false accounting at UK law. Now, if you are the chairman of an intergovernmental panel, you ought not also to be a trustee of a charity that has a conflict of interest, gives you a conflict of interest. He also is a director of the main charity, Terry, in India, and that too has just tendered for a £4 billion contract to clean up the oil fields in Kuwait. Who is it tendering to? The United Nations, whose climate panel he's the chairman of.
But this
people
doesn't
are,
change
whether
the
you
science,
like it or not, people
it?
Are now beginning to ask questions about whether those who have put the so-called science together have put it together in a certain order because they want to make some money out of it.
Are you suggesting then that this is a business conspiracy, a global business conspiracy encompassing America, all the developed world?
I have not used the word conspiracy.
No, but I'm
and
asking
if you are saying, as you appear to be, that science is done by consensus, then I have to tell you that it never has been and it never will be.
No.
Science is done by diligent research. Diligent research has established, and established many times over in the peer-reviewed literature, that the UN has exaggerated the warming effect of CO2 sevenfold. That part of the UN's documents is now going to have to be very substantially revised.
Yeah, so, you know, we've got to stay diligent on exposing this global warming fraud, this scheme. We got to stop these bankers from being able to produce these carbon derivatives. Oh, my God. I mean, it is incredible. Newsmax reported February 2nd, 2010, Bradley Blakeman wrote, "Obama surrendering internet to foreign powers." Says here, "Now the Obama administration has moved quietly to cede control of the web from the United States to foreign powers." Some background. The internet came into being because the genius work of Americans Dr. Robert Kahn and Dr. Vinton Cerf. These men, while working for the Department of Defense in the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, DARPA, in the early 70s, conceived, designed, and implemented the idea of open architecture networking. The breakthrough in connectivity and networking was the birth of the internet. These two gentlemen had the vision and the brain power to create a worldwide computer internet communications network that forever changed the world and how we communicate in it. They discovered that providing a person with a unique identifier, a TCP IP, that was able to communicate with recognize and interact through a network of servers would allow users to communicate with others. This is all going over to foreign powers. What they're doing is they want to implement the Chinese system. And the Chinese system is total censorship. Any alternative sites talking about the globalists and all, you can't access them on the Chinese servers on the internet unless you're using some kind of proxy. And a proxy is a TCP/IP address that you could put into a program that will connect to the internet as if you're somebody else. You understand what I'm saying? And then you could access banned sites. But, you know, straight out, total censorship. Where I'm not going to be able to have a website unless it's approved by the government. It can't be against any kind of political agenda. That's what Internet 2 is all about. That's why they've basically unplugged, so to speak, the infrastructure from the Internet. They're implementing Internet 2. And they're only going to upgrade on the Internet 2. And you understand what I'm saying? And there's only going to be, you know, a few thousand, you know, advertisers, products, corporations, government groups, schools. They're going to be allowed to use it. You're not going to be able to find information on YouTube or anything like we can now. Enemies of free speech call for internet licensing. Calls to introduce a licensing system to police the internet on behalf of a powerful UN agency represent the latest salvo in a long-running battle to kill free speech on the web and bring it to an end to the powerful digital democracy that had devastated the carbon tax agenda of the UN by exposing ClimateGate scandal. And 9/11, I might add. 9/11 was one of the first major false flag events since the internet had become popular, and they screwed up. Yes, we talk to each other. Yeah, we like technology. Yes, we do. And it's just too bad. And, you know, I've been saying for a long time that while we have this, the future of the info war, I don't think, is on the internet. They're going to crack down on that. You understand what I'm saying? They already got hate speech and these cyberbullying acts, and you can't speak out politically, and they're going to come after you if you put anything on your Facebook. You might not get that job. You know, we're seeing all this. So I think, you know, we ought to take what we can get from the internet now, put it on our desks, get it out in our communities, and start working with each other while we do have it, and sharing our ideas of how we are taking it to the level of our communities, you know? And we've got a lot of good stuff going on. We got people running now that are running on a Ron Paul type platforms. We've got a congressman here locally that is going to run again, David Gay. He's running for the congressional district here in Syracuse, New York, Central New York. I've worked with him. I know him. You can check out the interview I did with him on YouTube. I worked with him during the Ron Paul presidential campaign in the Ron Paul meetup groups and stuff. You know, I met him and his brother. He's actually a musician in a punk rock band. And he's an excellent speaker, you know, and he's grown in this movement too. I've watched him evolve. I've watched him wake up. You know, I went from him and his brother saying to me, you can't pass out them Freedom to Fascism DVDs at this Ron Paul meetup event. And I'm like, why? and then just seeing him a year later going, dude, I am so sorry for being against that. I had no idea. I'm totally woken up now to the whole Federal Reserve fraud and everything. You know, so Ron Paul, you know, even though he did not win the presidency and that he got blacked out by the media, if the media was run in the manner that it should be, in a fair manner, he would have done a lot better. And I might even venture out to say that he would be our president if things were fair, if the coverage was fair. But no, he got blacked out. He got demonized. He was attacked. But his message of freedom has expanded, and CampaignForLiberty.com is organizing on a grassroots level to get people in to government at the local level so that we can keep an eye on these people and insert sanity. And that's really where it's at. I've been saying for a long time, I really don't think the future is in the internet. And this is another huge, huge article talking about everything, video links, everything. You know, and the U.S. military is behind this, okay? This is who's taking over the internet. You had the czar there for the cyber security czar. He resigned because he said the Department of Defense is taking over the internet. The Pentagon. And Google reestablishes a relationship with government spies. Search engine company has a history of involvement with intelligence agencies. Google is set to establish a working relationship with the National Security Agency, a government spy force responsible for warrantless monitoring of Americans' phone calls and emails in the wake of 9/11. The announcement comes in response to recent cyber attacks on the search engine company, which says it emanated from China. Anonymous sources tell the Washington Post. The Washington Post is an organization that attends the Bilderberg meetings, the Bilderberg Group. They're told to keep silence. They've taken a vow of silence not to expose these global maniacs and their New World Order agenda. And these anonymous sources tell the Washington Post that the alliance is being designed to allow two organizations to share critical information, adding that the agreement will not allow the NSA to access to users' search details or emails. You know, that's a crock of crap, because you just heard me say that the AT&T whistleblower said every single thing on the internet in raw data. It doesn't matter if you're on AT&T or not. It doesn't matter who you're using as an ISP service. It's all going into the NSA computer into their room in their giant databases. So what is this fraud? You know, they're just establishing a relationship so that they can spy on individuals at a more personal level. You know what I mean? But they're honing in on certain individuals. You understand what I'm saying? Total violation of our Bill of Rights, our Constitution. Cassandra Anderson reported over at Infowars.com February 1st, 2010, Agenda 21 alert, Obama railroads us with the bullet train. The globalists have allowed Obama to throw you and me under the bus again, continuing with collective's blueprint set by Agenda 21 Sustainable Development with a new high-speed rail system. Says here, before detailing the specifics of why bullet trains are impractical, we will switch tracks here to gain a deeper understanding of the globalist scheme and how bullet trains fit into the agenda. In an interview with Michael Shaw from freedomadvocates.org, he explained that when you understand the intent of the Globalist Action Plan Agenda 21 Sustainable Development, it becomes very clear that government spending and debt not only serves to bankrupt individuals, but also to install new structures of control. These structures are at a local level called smart growth. The transportation system of the New World Order excludes private auto mobility. In an effort to remove people from cars, traffic congestion is allowed to grow exponentially with a refusal by planners to expand highways and accommodate more traffic. Of course, local and state governments are influenced by federal money and therefore under control, falling prey to its designs. And the Rockefeller Foundation, they fund this programming over there on PBS. And I just seen the other night flicking through, because I do update myself on the mind control agenda, and they were, this is exactly what they were talking about, how they were going to, they're trying to implement here in the United States systems like they have over in Europe to where people are not driving in their own cars, that they're using government transportation, that they're only allowed to use certain rail, you know, systems of roads and stuff. You know what I mean? Do you want the government deciding where you can travel to and where you can't travel to? I mean, that's the bottom line here. And this Agenda 21, Sustainable Development, is really a way to, it's a land grab. It's a way to grab land and to grab resources out of the people's hands and put it in control of the government. And that's exactly part of the New World Order agenda. It's something that I've been talking about for a very long time. This stuff is nothing new. See, over the years, they say that that's what they're going to do. That, well, we're going to do this and we're going to do that, and it sounds outrageous. And then you tell people that that's what they're saying they're going to do, and people are like, oh, that would never happen here in America, or, you know, that would never happen. And then when it does happen, you know, they're like, well, you know, the spin and stuff, eh, ain't too bad, oh well. But here's another one, nice big article with lots of links inside. Oh my God. Allies and Huffington, two Mockingbird assets, discussed Glenn Beck. On ABC over the weekend, Roger Ailes and Adriana Huffington discussed Glenn Beck. Ailes is president of Fox News. He was a media consultant for Richard Nixon, Ronald Reagan, and George H.W. Bush, as well as Rudy Giuliani's first mayoral campaign in 1989, Huffington, co-founding the progressive website, The Huffington Post, and figuratively highly on Forbes' list of most influential women in media. Ailes and Huffington worked tirelessly to keep the false left-right paradigm in working order. Huffington says Glenn Beck exploits the paranoid style of American politics and keeps this tradition alive. In other words, Beck exploits mistrust and fear of government. For progressive statists of Huffington's ilk, mistrust of government is paranoid and thus dangerous. Paranoid is usually associated with irrationality and delusion and characterized as a mental illness. She is apparently concerned about the influence of Beck's mini-documentary on Stalin, Mao, and the progressives. Beck instituates that the progressives get into power, they unleash mass slaughter like Mao and Stalin. In fact, as history teaches, authoritarian leaders, regardless of political coloration, invariably engage in mass murder against the opposition and other manufactured enemies. So, you know, history shows it this. Glenn Beck pretends to be a libertarian opposed to big government. In fact, he's a shill for predatory government and a continued looting of the people. In December, he went on a conservative Bill O'Reilly Fox show and called for new taxes on the plebs. Beck and O'Reilly merely dickered over the sort of tax they'd impose. O'Reilly argued for a national sales tax while Beck called for a value-added tax to pay down the national debt owed to a gaggle of international bankers. Instead of pointing out the crimes of the international bankers, oh, they're going to offer a solution on how we can pay these criminals more money. See, and this is the fraud that Glenn Beck is. You know, and people say, Harry, why are you so hard on Glenn Beck? I'm hard on Glenn Beck because he's the enemy, man, and I'm fighting the enemy. I'm not in this to lose. Freedom of humanity is on the line here. That's what's at stake. That's why I am going to continue to put a mark on this guy. He is Project Mockingbird, a CIA payroll mind control agent. I'm sorry if the truth hurts. Yeah, and you can listen to his program, and it sounds really darn good. But at key times, he's leading you off to the slaughter. You know, look what he did with Ron Paul. He was all part of blacking out Ron Paul. And then after, when everything's all said and done and over, oh, well, he's a libertarian. He's a big fan of Ron Paul. Well, he wasn't a big fan of Ron Paul when Ron Paul was on the move and gaining momentum, getting big cash contributions from thousands and thousands, tens of thousands of people around this country. Where was he then? That's what I'm saying. At key points, he's all for it. He was for the bailout. This goes on to say Obama, Bush, Huffington, Ailes, and Beck, these are shills for the state. There is a paranoid style in politics, as Huffington claims. It should consist of a paranoia of talking heads who offered two versions of predatory government and call it politics from the left and the right. It's a circus sideshow and a diversion that accomplishes nothing as government power increases and claims more victims. So like I said, they're in this left-right paradigm. That's all they push. You listen to their things, but they push this left-right fraud. And as long as you're caught up in this left-right fraud, they keep advancing their agenda. Government's bigger and bigger. Subverted Tea Party movement told to embrace Republican platform. The Tea Party movement is now almost completely unrecognizable from what it was a few short years ago. It came into prominence in 2008 when the Libertarian Party of Illinois planned to hold an April 15, 2009 anti-tax Boston Tea Party in Chicago. In February 2009, the idea grew after CNBC personality Rick Santelli, speaking from the floor of the Chicago Stock Exchange, criticized the Obama administration's tax and economic policies and urged Americans to become Tea Party activists. In fact, the idea began as the Boston Tea Party in 2006. It was founded by a group of former Libertarian Party members who criticized the party for its abdication of political responsibilities, declaring that Americans deserve and desperately need a pro-freedom party that forcibly advocates libertarian solutions to the issues of today. The Boston Tea Party opposed statism at all levels. The Boston Tea Party supports reducing the size, scope, and power of government at all levels and on all issues, and opposes increasing the size, scope, and power of government at any level for any purpose. Now, how this has changed. It didn't take long for the establishment Republicans to steal the idea and claim it as their own. A few weeks after Rick Santelli made his comments, Ron Paul's media coordinator Steve Gordon went on MSNBC's Rachel Maddow show to complain about what he characterized as an attempt by Republicans to hijack the idea. Gordon specifically blamed former Republican House Speaker Newt Gingrich and Arkansas Governor Mike Huckabee. But it didn't take long for Republicans to embrace the idea. RNC Chairman Michael Steele, Sarah Palin, and Representative Michelle Bachmann from Minnesota have suggested the Tea Party should be rolled up into the Republican Borg hive. So, you know, we do see a lot of this undermining of what the Tea Parties were. And I'll tell you what, I went to the Tea Party last year on tax day here in Syracuse. I got the YouTube videos up. You can find that at my YouTube channel, Harry Thomas Info. It wasn't what they were portraying on TV. It was a bunch of people that were ticked off about the way the government's spending their money. That's really what the bottom line was. It was about auditing the Federal Reserve and a lot of these other issues, and they turned it around. And you've seen them on the mainstream media. I did the shows about them where you had people saying they're a bunch of redneck tea-toting people and just total lies about what that really was. It should be obvious by now that the Republicans plan to run Sarah Palin against Obama in 2012. This will be a disaster for Republicans because many Americans were not fooled by her sudden Tea Party plumage. Republicans are desperate to regain control of the White House and Congress and give us 4 or 8 more years of Bush and his warmongering status neocons. This is a shabby and absurdly transparent gimmick. Real Tea Party activists and supporters need to reject Palin, Huckabee, Gingrich, and the Republicans out of hand. They should be vocal about their rejection. Otherwise, we will end up with another ideologue and teleprompting reading cigar store Indian for a ruling elite. And this is true. This is very true. And Philip Giraldi over at CampaignForLiberty.com wrote on February 1st, 2010, National Insecurity. The National Security Act of 1947 created the Central Intelligence Agency. The CIA was supposed to become a central office where all the information being collected by the U.S. government would be pulled together and analyzed. The intention was to avoid another Pearl Harbor, which at the time was regarded as an intelligence failure, and that the information would have revealed plans for an attack by the Japanese was not properly connected and acted upon. And that's what we've seen with 9/11. They said, well, our intelligence communities can't communicate with each other, so we need to create Homeland Security and the biggest bureaucracy that we've ever seen in Homeland Security, and we need to create this monster and everything else. And then here we are 10 years later, and they're saying the same thing about this false flag in Detroit, where they're saying the same thing. Well, our security agencies, our intelligence communities, just couldn't properly communicate. Okay, well then what have we been doing with all these trillions of dollars, billions and billions of dollars of these overbloated bureaucracies? They're supposed to be protecting us from this after 9/11. How come that's not working? Okay? Because it's not meant to work. It's not designed to work. So, you know, this is just more, they're exposing it. CIA, I mean, that's why they killed Kennedy. The Kennedy wanted to get rid of the CIA. He wanted to get rid of the Federal Reserve. He wanted to expose these bankers. And he was a Kennedy. He came from the elite ruling class that the Kennedys are. But at some point, he got a conscience about what was going on, and he was going to start, you know, unraveling their plans. Unraveling their plans for this domination. And that's exactly what he went forth to do, and that's why the CIA killed him. And that's why we need to get rid of it. Ron Paul says we need to get rid of the CIA. We need to expose the Federal Reserve and get rid of it. We need to get rid of a lot of these overbloated bureaucracies, DHS. All kinds of stuff that ain't working for the interest of the people. Now, an Intel boss, Blair, government plans to kill citizens. Patsies, take heed, the U.S. government will kill you. That's what the Director of National Intelligence, Dennis C. Blair, told the House Intelligence Committee yesterday. The Department of Defense will follow a set of defined policy and legal procedures that are carefully observed in the use of lethal force against U.S. citizens who make the mistake of joining organizations created by the CIA and the Mossad. So the CIA created Al-Qaeda from scratch in Afghanistan. Hamas was created by Mossad to undermine the Palestinian-Libyan liberation organization. Both countries have long and sordid histories in creating terrorist organizations for political purposes. CIA Director Leon Panetta appeared before a Senate Select Committee on Intelligence, said the groups threatening the homeland include Al-Qaeda and Hamas. So, see what I'm saying? As the United States steps up its campaign against suspected terrorists overseas, it has become more apparent that some extremists may be U.S. citizens, reports the CIA's favorite newspaper, The Washington Post. And like I had just said earlier, The Washington Post attends these Bilderberg meetings. They're part of the problem. They're criminals. They're involved in high treason. So, like I was saying earlier, they create these entities that are supposed to be our enemies, okay? And they sell you on it. Same thing with this Fort Hood shooter. Total ties to all this crap. You know what I'm saying? Same MOs over and over again. They're trained by U.S. military bases. Oh, my God. The FBI funding this, all the other intelligence agencies around the world, Pakistani ISI funding 9/11 hijackers and all this other stuff. They're in bed with it. Like I said, we do have some good things going. Deborah Medina is running for governor of Texas. We need to get behind candidates like her. She's speaking out against this globalist agenda. She's talking about, you know, sovereignty and constitution and restoring the republic, okay? And she's against the New World Order, and she's not afraid to say it. And that's who we need for governors across this country. That's who we need as town councilmen. That's who we need to invade our local levels of government. We got to take this back from the inside. It was an inside job against us, and we have to make an inside job for us. We have to take back over our communities. And the best way to do that is to get involved in this info war, to stand for freedom, to not go along with the globalist agenda, not go along with the status quo, to not give any fidelity to what you see on TV. And when you see other people doing it, say, no, you know what? That's propaganda, man. That is propaganda. And educate yourself enough so that you can speak on issues in an intelligent manner and back yourself up with facts. And I'll tell you, one of the great places to do that is over at 12160.org. You can check out Fearless Broadcasting over there and become fearless yourself, man. Speak out your mind while we still got the time, while we still have the technology on our side. You know, every voice matters. Everybody has a different personality. Everybody has a different way of relating the information. And we're going to, the only way we're going to beat these monsters is if each and every one of us takes some kind of action in this info war. No matter how small, no matter how big, whether it's just getting DVDs out to your friends, families, coworkers, whether it's starting your own show and your own podcast and your own website, whether it's just, you know, being at the water cooler and, you know, not talking about American Idol, not letting people talk about issues and be astray. Let people know that it's a fraud, that the mainstream media is a fraud, and they're giving them a bunch of, you know, horse pills, sugar pills. That's all they're giving them, man. Bunch of fluff. All right. We have to expose this fluff. We have to expose this New World Order agenda. Keep an eye on it. And I did want to bring this up since I am a proud member over there at 12160.org. I made a post a little while back right at the end of last year. It was a call to action for Fearless Broadcasting. And what that is you've got a rant or a rave, something under 5 minutes. You want to submit a written news story, research, a topic, anything. You go ahead and you can get a hold of me. You can send me a message over at 12160.org. at my profile, or you can send it to webmaster@harrythomas.info. Any kind of input or any kind of thing that you want to submit for the show, I will take a look at it and I will try to incorporate it into a show somehow. And that's a call to action. It's your turn to be fearless, and you can find more information over at fearlessbroadcasting.info and 12160.org. Take some action today. I will be back next week to expose more of the New World Order agenda. And until then, you know, the only way we're going to be able to beat these guys is together. Because together, we will make a difference. I want to thank you for listening this week. And we will be back to expose more of these mega methodical maniacs agenda. Inside is so bad.